Westminster Abbey is one of the great old buildings in London. It was originally an abbey church of a Benedictine monastery in London. It was erected by Ethelbert, King of Kent, in the early 7th century. Additions were built by Sir Nicholas Wren and Nicholas Hawksmoor in the 18th century. All the English kings and queens since William I have been crowned in Westminster Abbey, and the Abbey Cemetery is the burial place of 18 British monarchs, England's most notable statesmen and distinguished subjects have been given burial in the Abbey Cemetery since the 14th century. In the Poets' Corner, there are found the graves of Chaucer, Browning, Tennyson, and other significant English poets. It has often been said that when you reach the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, you have reached the Westminster Abbey of Scripture. Or some people have called it the honor roll of Old Testament saints, because what you have in the 11th chapter of Hebrews is a catalog of Old Testament personalities who lived their lives by faith in God. There's a good reason why this chapter is here, and it goes back to the end of chapter 10. If you remember, chapter 10 ends like this: "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come, and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." Chapter 10 ends with an admonition to live by faith. So the author of Hebrews felt compelled to explain that, what it means to live by faith. And the way he chose to explain the life of faith is to give us all these Old Testament examples to demonstrate what it is to live by faith and why we should live by faith. We are going to look at the first three verses of chapter 11 today and then work through this chapter on faith in the coming weeks. In the first three verses of chapter 11, we see a description of faith, a commendation of faith, and an illustration of faith. Those are the three things we want to consider today. First of all, there is a description of faith. Faith is described in verse 1 as the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is an intangible capacity of the human mind, heart, and will to substantiate things invisible. The first phrase in verse 1 says, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for." That is what it says in the English Standard Version anyway. The King James Version says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for." The word that is used here can mean substance, or it may also mean assurance. Now, if it means substance, he's talking about the objective realities toward which we look. If he is talking about it in the sense of assurance, then he's talking about it subjectively. So, it is either saying that faith gives us an inward sense of assurance for the fulfillment of the promises, or it is saying that when we believe, we really have those promises. We might not have them yet, but they are sure to be ours because of faith. Faith is the thing that certifies the promises of God that we hope for to us. Faith is the thing that actualizes the promises of God for us. What is promised and what is therefore hoped for is already ours in a sense by faith. And faith gives us the assurance that we shall actually have it one day. The second phrase in verse 1 says, "Faith is the conviction of things not seen." So faith deals in the realm of the invisible. If you look at the Word of God and you think of the many experiences of the saints of the Word of God, I'm sure you have illustration after illustration of faith dealing in the realm of the invisible. Think of Elisha. When Elisha was having difficulty with The Syrians, you may remember in 2 Kings chapter 6 that when Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, was seeking to destroy the Israelites, Elisha kept informing his people of what Ben-Hadad was doing. And so finally, since he was doing this, the king of Syria asked, "How is it that this man always knows what we are doing? Or rather, how do they know what we are doing?" And his men told him, "The man of God keeps telling your top secrets to the king of Israel." So they decided they would stop this by finding out where Elisha was and then going down there and getting rid of Elisha. So the king asked where Elijah was. Well, Elijah is in Dothan. And so they came by night and they besieged Dothan. Elisha had one of his servants with him, and the servant was all in a panic over what had happened. Here is the Syrian army surrounding them, and there is Elisha and his servant. And so he cried out to Elisha, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Well, Elisha was not the least bit perturbed. For him, faith was the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so he asked that the Lord would give his servant a sense of what the situation really was. The servant was all strung out, and so Elisha prayed, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And his eyes were opened to the sight of a mountain full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. Now Elisha didn't have to see those angelic hosts. A mountain full of horses and chariots of fire. He was convinced they were there. For him, faith was the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. But the servant did not have that faith, and so he was shown what Elisha was already convinced of by faith. Now, where does that conviction come from? It doesn't say it here in this passage explicitly, although it is implied all through this passage. The substance of our faith by which we preserve our souls, the conviction comes from the Word of God. So this is the way faith works. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. The mind contemplates the Word of God. The heart embraces the Word of God, and the will acts on the Word of God, and that is faith. The second thing we see in this passage is a commendation of faith. In verse 2, faith is something that is commended by God. Verse 2 says, "For by it the people of old received their commendation." That is what the English Standard Version says. The King James Version says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." The New King James says, "For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." The New Living Translation says, "Through their faith the people in days of old earned a good reputation." The New International Version says, "This is what the ancients were commended for." The New American Standard Bible says, "For by it the men of old gained approval." The Revised Standard Version says, "For by it the men of old received divine approval." I think the general consensus of all the translations would be that God approves of faith. But it is not just faith that God approves of. It is not just the exercise of the capacity to substantiate the invisible that gets the approval of God. It is the seeking and apprehending of God Himself that gets the approval of God. And faith is the instrument by which we do that. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." It is clear that faith is just the instrument of drawing near and seeking God. Faith is an instrument that involves the mind, the emotions, and the will. There is an intellectual aspect of it, a heart aspect of it, and a volitional aspect of it. That is what we learn in Hebrews chapter 11. The people of old were praised, or they were approved, The people of old are the people cited in Hebrews chapter 11. What it means is they lived by faith, and therefore God approved of them. God was pleased with them. God commends those who operate on faith. And we see in this chapter what it means to operate on faith. It means to know God's will, to embrace God's will with the heart, and to act upon God's will. God approves those who hear His word, embrace His promises, and stake their lives upon them. That is what this chapter is all about. Abel believed God regarding sacrifice, did it by faith, and God approved of his sacrifice. Enoch believed God, walked according to God's will, and God was pleased, and God approved. Noah believed God that it would rain, and he inherited righteousness for believing God, and God approved. Abraham and Sarah believed God for a child, and God approved of their faith, and they received a child: Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Amram, Jochebed, Moses, Joshua, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, all those listed in chapter 11, all believed God, and God said, "It's good, I approve." They trusted in what they couldn't see. They staked their lives on it, and God said, "That's good, I approve." The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. And then it gives all these examples of people who lived by faith and pleased God. In every example there are the elements of knowledge, trust, and action, or mind, heart, and will, or intellect, heart, and volition, however you may want to say it. Without faith you can't please God, and faith involves knowing, trusting, and acting. You say, "How can I get that?" Well, the simplest place to start is in the Word of God, because that is where you get to know Him. You get into the Word of God, and God will speak to you, and faith will come, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The third thing we see in this passage is an illustration of faith. Faith is something that is best understood by illustration. Verse 3 says, "By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." Now here's what he wants to do. He's saying to this congregation of professing Jewish believers, you must have faith. And he's saying, in effect, in verse 3, that you already do, because you already believe that God created the universe, and you would expect that they did, because it is taught in Genesis chapter 1, and he is obviously referring to the book of Genesis, because these stories about the characters come right out of Genesis. And so he's saying, I'm not asking you to do something unusual. You already have a faith in God, that He is, and that He made the world and the universe. So you've got a foundation of faith, belief that the visible world and the universe and the ages are created by God is a conviction of faith, not sight. Nobody knows that by sight. Nobody can say, "Well, I was there when it was done. Yes, I saw how it all started." You can't say that. Nobody was there. The only thing we know about the creation of the universe is what we know by faith. And so he simply says, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So he says, I'm not asking something of you that you don't already have. You see, he's simply establishing here that faith is not so much of a foreign thing to them. By faith they believed that God made the world. What they needed to do was to put that faith in the right object. So Hebrews is telling us that we must have faith to please God. And in this chapter, he's going to give us example after example of how that works. Then at the beginning of chapter 12, he is going to call us to put our faith in Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter of our faith. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." That is where this chapter is headed. So let me ask you, have you put your faith in Jesus? Do you know Him? Have you embraced Him with your whole heart? Have you staked your life for now and forever on Him? If you have not, then I ask you to look to Him today. Run to Him. Cast yourself upon Him and His mercy. Stake your life for now and for eternity upon Him. Let's pray.